I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest today, Jenny Lee, is a certified yoga therapist who has spent 2 decades coaching people in the healing traditions of classical yoga and meditation. Using the practices she writes about in Breathing Love, Jenny helps people overcome grief, depression, anxiety, and stress, as well as create lives filled with creative love. Also the author of the award-winning book, True Yoga, Jenny's writing has been featured in dozens of wellness blogs and magazines. More information about her programs and coaching can be found at jennyleeyogatherapy.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Jenny, and I look forward to hearing about love. Now, much has been written about love, and can you tell us first how you define love, and then what does love mean, or what do you mean to breathe love?
Sure, Carl. So glad to be here with you today. Certainly, there has been a lot written about love, and people have a lot of different interpretations about what that is. And I think most people think of love as that feeling that you get with certain people or certain things that feels really warm and fuzzy inside. And certainly, that's one level of love. But love, to me, and what I'm defining in the book Breathing Love, is really the energy that is a universal energy that we're all a part of. And to me, the love is the unifying and harmonizing energy of the universe. And so when I say, the reason we titled the book Breathing Love, and what I mean by to breathe love is to consciously align ourselves with that positive, unifying, harmonizing energy of the universe through our intention, through every breath, and to really utilize the practices of breathing and meditation to become more attuned to that energy of love that is within each one of us, and how we can more be more expressive of that in our daily life, in all of our relationships, and all of our interactions.
Mm-hmm. So your definition of love would be not where you expect something back when you give love. You just give love because you're loving. Right.
It's definitely not about the giving to get, which I think is what a lot of human relationships are based on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then Jenny, what are some misconceptions about love?
Well, I think the biggest misconception that people fall into is that if not in a relationship, that they don't have love. And to me, that's fundamentally untrue, because I believe that we all are love, and that universal energy is within each one of us. And so that at any given moment in time, whether we're in a relationship or not, we have all the love that we ever need within our own being. Mm-hmm. And the job, really, our job is to realize that, to tap into that, and to live from that. And that really turns the whole paradigm of human interaction on its ear, because, you know, we spend a lot of time kind of looking for that love that we feel we don't have, and how can we fill up from the outside? And to me, love is not something on the outside. That's the big misconception.
Right.
Love is an inside job.
Right. And you'll never attract that love outside until you love yourself. So the most important love to me is with God, and the second most is with myself, because I spend more time with me than I do with anyone else. And I believe that you can't love someone else until you love yourself. Otherwise, it reverts back to what we talked about earlier, expecting something in return.
Right. And, you know, Jesus had a beautiful quotation, and when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. To me, that is not just saying, well, I'm going to love him as much as I love myself, because people maybe haven't cultivated that self-love that you're talking about. So then it's maybe hard for them to love someone else to the same measure as they're loving themselves. But to me, what that quotation really means is that to love our neighbor as ourself is to recognize that we are all one self. We are all part of that energy of love.
Our society has a ways to go, and I think that I see we're in the process. I see this very much with people on Facebook, you know, and I feel love toward many of the people that I have associated with for years on Facebook as much as I do with my family. I mean, it's the same type of love that I feel with family. So they are like family.
That's great. Sounds like you have a beautiful community on your Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm not sure everybody feels that way about their connections on social media. I think people can get pretty caught up in comparisons and, you know, feeling not good enough or not lovable enough because of things they see on social media. But it sounds like you have a beautiful community of like-minded souls.
Right. And I think that we eventually will be universal that way. You know, but I think that we have probably gone backwards a little bit in the last year, but we won't get into that.
Well, leadership matters.
Right,
but,
right.
But yeah, it's up to all of us. And we can't look to anyone else to make the change. You know, we have to be the change. We have to be the love and that we want to see in the world. And so it starts in every interaction with the person that we pass on the street, to the supermarket clerk, to our family members, to our social media contacts.
Then, Jenny, what does meditation in action mean?
Yeah, thanks. Meditation in Action is the subtitle of the book. And we chose that because, you know, meditation has become very popular recently, thank goodness. More and more people are getting into that practice and recognizing its many, many benefits. The practice of sitting in silence and calming our bodies and our minds, and it gives us the opportunity to tune into that universal love that waits within us. And then the meditation in action is really about taking the next step. And when we get up off our cushions, it's bringing that awareness with us into daily life. And so not allowing our meditation practice to just be for the 10 minutes or half an hour or whatever it is when we're sitting in our tranquil little meditation space, but we can't then get up and go have some confrontational conversation with the person that we interact with next. We have to really bring those same qualities with us into our daily life. So meditation in action is recognizing this unified self that we're all a part of. It's determining that we're going to act and speak and interact with one another from a compassionate, kind, loving standpoint because of that recognition of our unity, and just really putting our practice into daily life.
And what does meditation have to do with love? You mentioned love, so could you elaborate a bit?
Sure. You know, this universal energy of love that is our true nature. We have a hard time kind of feeling that and accessing that and being able to live our lives from that. And so what meditation has to do with it is it gives us the opportunity to come home to that understanding or awareness of our true nature. You know, as long as we're focused externally on all the people, places, and things that we need to do in a day, we don't typically have a connection to that inner essence. We're just sort of externally bouncing around in reaction mode. And meditation gives us that time and place and opportunity to tap in into the inward self, which is love, and to connect to that, to feel it deeply within our being, to know it as who we are. And then we're more able as a result of that experience to live it out in our external lives.
I see that when I meditate, I'm meditating to my better, higher self. And everyone has that peace in them, but sometimes they turn away from it. And so I try to look for that peace within people that I meet and try to, you know, build on that instead of looking at, you know, the turning away from the light, so to speak.
I think that's so important, Carl. What you just said is that's something that we can all do, is if someone is presenting us with a negative or an unkind, you know, aspect of themselves, if we can, because of our own practice and anchoring into that higher self within ourselves, if we can recognize that behind that mask that they're showing us of meanness or negativity, if we can recognize that just behind that waits this loving soul, and that they're really suffering by being disconnected from their true self, we can just see them for that moment as who they really are and recognize the love and the light within them, then we can help them find their way back to that too. And this can all happen without speaking a word. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not going to necessarily have the opportunity to have some big spiritual dialogue with everybody, but it's really just recognizing one another as part of this spiritual essence that we all have within, whether people recognize it in themselves or not.
Jenny, do you see forgiveness as part of the process of moving to that higher self within yourself?
To me, forgiveness is just another word for love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can get really stuck in feeling right and righteous about things and have a hard time forgiving someone when they've hurt us. And people do hurt other people. But forgiveness, when we choose to forgive, we're choosing love for our own heart and our own well-being. Mm-hmm. And whether or not that other person ultimately reforms or makes amends is not really as important as the choice that we make internally to align ourselves with love. Mm-hmm. So to me, forgiveness and love are one and the same. And it's always a choice that we have to make for ourselves first. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, extending it to others is a beautiful practice as well.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that about 70% of all people with cancer have problems with forgiveness. And so I found that interesting. And also, I have a little affirmation that I have used for many, many years that came originally from Louise Hay. Are you familiar with Louise Hay?
Oh, yeah.
Who died recently. It was, "I forgive you for not being the way I want you to be. I forgive you and I set you free. You are free and I am free." I thought that was a wonderful little affirmation to use because it shows that we're trying to control someone else and not let them be themselves.
That's a beautiful affirmation, and I love the ending of it about that I set you free and I set myself free, and that's really what we're doing through forgiveness, is we're setting ourselves free.
Mm-hmm. Then, Jenny,
yeah.
What motivates you to continue to choose love when other people don't reciprocate?
Well, what motivates me is knowing how choosing love makes me feel. And I know that when I have not chosen love and when I've reacted or reciprocated with someone in a negative way, that I don't feel good. I don't feel good about myself. I haven't made any positive change in the dynamic between us. And although by choosing love, I may not change the dynamic between us, I may not change that other person in any way, I have changed myself. And that's all I have control over. Mm-hmm. That's all any one of us has control over. And so I want to change myself in ways that feel best to me. And I feel more peaceful. I feel more aligned with my higher essence when I choose to act lovingly, regardless of what someone else is doing.
Mm-hmm. And I find that as I change, the people around me change. And if you're in a significant relationship, as you change, that person seems to reflect that change in their behavior. And so you can either change in a positive or a negative way, and they will reflect that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one of the greatest prayers that we can say, particularly when we're in relationship with someone, is may we both be aligned with love, you know, and if there's a conflict between us, if we just pray that we can both be aligned with love, then somehow the resolution will appear and compromise can be had. But that's the key.
Mm-hmm. Then in your book, you talk about end of life and about leaving a legacy of love. What would you say to someone who is dying or someone with a loved one who is dying?
Well, I think what matters most always is our exchange of love And I was just talking to a friend this morning who has a brother who's dying, and there had been some difficulties between them. Some years had passed that they had not spoken, and we were talking about what he was going to say when he saw his brother. And the only thing to say really is, I love you and I forgive you, because mm-hmm. that's the only thing that matters at the end. Mm-hmm. Everything else is going to go away. It's all temporary. And this whole human experience that we're having, going to be gone in the blink of an eye. And so the legacy of love that we can offer someone is certainly our forgiveness, our love to them, letting go of past hurts. And if we're the ones at the end of life, then we can certainly forgive ourselves and others who we may have held resentments with, and just let love be the last thing, the only thing that we remember and that we're remembered by.
Then, Jenny, are there things that you would like to say in closing before we look at your book and any services or products and how the listeners can reach you?
I guess the only closing comment that I usually share is to encourage people to, although this can feel kind of like a big topic, to be choosing love at every step and to be loving to everyone around you, because mm-hmm. there is so much conflict in the world, and it can feel really difficult to do that. And I would just encourage everyone, the listeners, to take small steps and think about being kind. Just simple kindness is a real step in the right direction of practicing love and breathing love, practicing compassion. Just recognizing that everyone is suffering and struggling in their own way, that no human life is without challenge, and that by being more kind and compassionate to one another, we really facilitate a lot of healing for ourselves and others.
It's interesting that I have always included, since I had lung cancer 43 years ago, I have always included the spiritual concepts as part of a proposal for treating cancer, because I believe mm-hmm. that some of them are just as important as anything physical that you do. A lot of people just talk about medication, surgery, or radiation and that stuff, but I think that, and I've researched it, that gratitude, faith, patience, love, forgiveness, all of those things are as important in our healing as anything else we do. And I'm wondering if you have had a traumatic experience of some sort that set you on the path of looking at love, or what happened that brought you to that? Is it your meditation, your yoga? What brought you to where you are?
Well, first, let me say that I totally 100% agree with you, Carl, that we can't treat just the body, because we are not just the body. Mm-hmm. We are the soul, we are the mind and the heart and the emotions. And so we have to treat anyone holistically, mm-hmm. Including ourselves. And by all means, the greatest healing is not the healing of the body, because the body will pass at mm-hmm. a certain point. I mean, mm-hmm. whether it's 60 years or 100 years, these bodies are temporary, but the soul is eternal. Mm-hmm. And so if we can begin the healing of the soul through realignment with the qualities that you mentioned, gratitude, love, peace, forgiveness, compassion, then that's the greater healing, in my opinion. And the way people really come to a level of peace at the time of their physical death. And in terms of my journey, we probably need a lot more time to answer that question, mm-hmm. but I've had a tremendous amount of loss in my life, mm-hmm. lost most of the people that I love. Mm-hmm. I am fortunate to still have my husband and my son mm-hmm. here, but I've had a lot of loss through death. And so it has made me take much time in study and reflection, introspection on what matters most in mm-hmm. life and mm-hmm. where peace comes from. And my practice of yoga and meditation is what has brought me that peace mm-hmm. and that understanding and that connection to that universal level energy of love. And so that's why I wanted to offer that. And so I share a lot of personal stories in the book, Breathing mm-hmm. Love. Each chapter is anchored with a personal story about my journey and how I came to the realizations that I share in the book.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have services or products
Yeah, so my primary service is yoga therapy. And what that is it's a combination holistic counseling process. And I work with people all over the world on the phone or Skype. It doesn't require that we be in person. And we look at all the techniques and practices of yoga meditation that are available. It's not just the physical movements of yoga that people are really familiar with, but also the inner practices, the ways, the many, many ways in which the yoga teachings show us how to come to a greater awareness of our true self. And so I counsel people using that framework to overcome the things that they're struggling with, whether that's grief or stress or anxiety, depression, or some physical challenge, maybe a disease that they're going through. And beyond that, I write books. I have two books out. One is called True Yoga. It's a philosophy look at the yoga philosophy and its application to our daily life. And then my new book, which is coming out right now, Breathing Love, Meditation in Action. So yeah, and those are available on Amazon. And I have a website that goes into more detail about my yoga therapy services. And the website is my name, Jenny Lee, J-E-N-N-I-E, LeeYogaTherapy.com.
And your book will be on there also?
It is, yes. There are pages about the book as well on the website.
Great, good. Well, I appreciate this very much, Jenny. It's been interesting and will be helpful, I'm sure, to those that, you know, are struggling to move toward a better life, which most of us, we all are, I guess, in one way or another. But I know it'll be helpful to my listeners, and I'm glad that you shared with us and have a book that people can turn to and read and learn more from your personal experiences, how to move to a higher state of love, I guess it is. It's not really a state because it's fluid, but to a higher capacity to love, I guess, would be the
right way. That's a good way of putting it, because it's all within us. We just have to clear out the blocks to have a greater capacity.
Right.
Yeah.
So I thank you very much, Jenny, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you so much, Carl. Have a great day. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you. Because we have some time left today, I would like to talk with you about my new Cancer Foundation and an opportunity that I think will be of interest to you. My new Cancer Foundation can be found at www.HolisticCancerFoundation.com. On the site, you will see first a video of the foundation. You will also see the goals, which are education, research, and patient care. I have an impressive board and advisory board for this foundation, and you can look at these on the site. I have worked for over a year getting content on the site, including interviews with cancer patients and doctors, cancer research, cancer treatment, and what is different on my site is research on mental, spiritual interventions and interviews with experts for interviews like affirmations, visualization, prayer, meditation, gratitude, forgiveness, and many others. These are included because I believe that disease results from multiple factors, and consequently, a holistic approach is necessary for recovering from cancer. To me, prayer, faith, optimism, and others are as important in treatment as medication, supplements, diet, and other interventions. I have experience to support this belief. Having used a holistic approach since 1970, when I volunteered as a camp nurse for the Edgar Cayce organization, it was natural to use this approach when I was diagnosed with lung cancer in 1974. Curing this disease with all natural holistic interventions, I continued using the approach in my personal life and with clients, and am now considered a pioneer in holistic health. I worked for about a year developing content on preventing cancer for my Cancer Foundation website. This content of over 150 pages has been published as a book titled Reducing Your Cancer Risk, A Holistic Approach, available on my website or at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other sites for $14.95 to benefit the foundation. It will include the following. First, as a longtime educator, I like to start my writing with a theoretical framework in which to place the content. So there is first a theoretical framework based upon public health concepts. This framework will basically look at, first, ways to reduce the risk of known environmental carcinogens, and second, ways to strengthen the host against environmental and other carcinogens. Content on reducing the effect of known environmental carcinogens include electromagnetic waves, toxic chemicals such as BPA, formaldehyde, toxic metals such as aluminum and mercury, and last, ultraviolet waves. For all areas, there will be research related to the carcinogen, what you can do to reduce the risk, and an interview with an expert for many of these. The second part looks at ways to strengthen the host or you against carcinogens. It includes areas such as physical activities, nutrition including genetically modified organisms, organic food, etc., fluids, water and milk, supplements, vitamins, minerals, immune builders, sleep, smoking cessation, music, and then it moves into mental, spiritual interventions that includes affirmations, compassion, faith, forgiveness, gratitude, meditation, optimism, prayer, relaxation exercises, serving or helping others, social support, stress reduction, and visualization. Again, for each of these, there is research, what to do to strengthen yourself against cancer, and interviews with experts for many of these. You will hear interviews with 30 cancer or related experts on mental, spiritual interventions, such as forgiveness, gratitude, faith, and compassion. You'll hear about omega-3s, genetically modified organisms, genetically modified food, plant-based and other nutritional diets, smoking cessation, chemical and mental carcinogens, immune builders, music, and much, much more. So I hope this will be helpful to you and will help in preventing cancer in the future. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. www.foundationdifference.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Carl Helvey, on my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show, and the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.